some of the men were real excited to have women on board, and they bent over too far to try and help you out, carrying things for you and not wanting you to do things that they could do because they were used to treating women in a certain way. Others did not want us there, and they would go out of their way to make it difficult for us. I like to think that by the end of my 2 years, actually it was 2.5 years out there, that I felt things had changed and they got used to having the two women on board. I don't think we had any women crew members by that point yet. My next ship, there were actually women crew members on board too. But, you know, when I asked some of the men later on, they said it wasn't actually a good change, because it was more like what society is like on the outside, instead of all these men stuck on this little ship and only in on the weekends when they could see women, and they all got in trouble because of it. But so it was a mix of how we were treated. Being a woman came back when I was captain. We were working in southern ports, Charleston, and in Cape Fear River up by Wilmington. And there were times that I would get on the radio to try and contact another vessel, because we wanted to arrange passing, to do safe passing, and they would refuse to respond to me. I remember that happening when I was executive, and so then we'd put the CO on, and he'd call, and immediately you'd get a response. They were not as accepting, even in the 90s, of women being out there on a ship. So that was a bit maddening. That's not right. Plus, our captain had a southern accent, so that he fit in much better. I kept saying, all right, I got to start talking with a southern accent here. But it's a whole different mindset. And it's the highlight of your career, I think, to be captain of your own ship. But the responsibility is very high. You're responsible for these 36 people that are on board the vessel with you, and you have to make the right decisions, and you're in the middle of hurricanes. But it was interesting, the types of people that you get and the things that you face, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Pretty much all my classes were in the sciences, and when it got to my end of my junior year and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with that math degree, I know I didn't want to work for the IRS or mortuary or some of the standard things that you go into when you're in math. I said I better pick up a teaching certificate just in case. And so I took the few classes. There weren't very many that were required. Took the few classes, and I student taught in the fall of my senior year. And when I was there, I was not a good teacher. I like to think that I've matured more since then, and I might do a much better job. But when I was there at student teaching, there was a catalog of who was coming to visit Michigan State for interviews. And Noah was listed, who I'd never heard of before. And it said, get on a research ship and go to sea. And I went, ooh, that sounds good. And so I signed up for an interview and went in. I still remembered. I went in on a Wednesday after I was in the sailing club in college. I went in after sailing, so I was in an old dirty T-shirt with paint on it and torn jeans. And my interview was for Friday, so I went in on Wednesday to research what in the world NOAA is. And I went up to the front desk and I said, where can I find information on NOAA? She said, well, they've just canceled all of their Friday interviews, and he's leaving in about 20 minutes. So you might be able to get an interview now. And it's amazing when you think how a slight change in something that you've done in your life could change your entire course of your life. If I had not gone in to see what in the world NOAA was, I never would have had that interview, and I probably never would have worked with NOAA. So I had that interview, took that interview, and I interviewed also for the Peace Corps. Those are my only two that I interviewed for, and luckily I was accepted into NOAA.